My name is Yemi, and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Philia.
Hey, guys.
And welcome to Treading Faith. Treading Faith is a weekly Bible study podcast dedicated to taking a deep dive into the Word with open, honest, fun, and sometimes difficult conversations surrounding everyday life, our relationships, and our faith walk with Christ. So, Philia, what are we diving into today?
Well, Yemi, our topic for season four is Yoked, finding and maintaining relationships that are guided by the Word. And here we are taking a deep dive into the lives of 10 to 12 couples from the Bible in order to gain insight and wisdom on how to be equally yoked in relationships and to avoid or sever or even improve the ones that we are looking at ourselves. Now, we are using Dr. David Clark's The Top 10 Most Outrageous Couples of the Bible. And today's lucky couple will be, drumroll, Samson, the famous Samson and Delilah. So, Samson and Delilah, we are talking about them because we are looking at outrageous lust. Now, I will be focusing on Samson's origin or Samson's story from his birth. And that will be taken from Judges chapter 13, verses 1 to 24. And it begins, "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, 'You are a barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines.' Then the woman went to her husband and told him, 'A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, "You will become pregnant and have a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from the womb until the day of his death." Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord, I beg you, to let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born." God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, "He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day." Manoah gave up and followed his wife. Then he came to the man. He said, "Are you the man who talked to my wife?" "I am," he said. So Manoah asked him, "When your words are fulfilled, what is it to be the rule that governs the boy's life and work?" The angel of the Lord answered, "Your wife must do all that I have told her." Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you." The angel of the Lord replied, "Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true?" He replied, "Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding." Then Manoah took a young goat together with the grain offering and sacrificed it on the rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended into the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was indeed the angel of the Lord. "We are doomed to die," he said. to his wife, "We have seen God." But his wife answered, "If the Lord had nearest to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this." The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahane Dan between Zohar and Eshtaol. Amen. Now, that story, although it was long, I thought it was really important to talk about, because I think what happens is that sometimes in life, we like to take leaps and bounds and try to get to the point. But sometimes it's really important to understand the origins, because when you understand the origins and you understand that a foundation is so solid, it starts to set and pave your way to what your life is going to be. So in this story, Samson was born to a woman who was barren. But the angel promised that from God that if she obeyed and did not drink wine and did not eat unclean meat, that she will bear a son, and that son will free Israel of the Philistines. Now, it's interesting how this woman had to be so pure so that she can bear this child, so that she can have this child who was going to be pretty much a judge of God, who was going to be a defender of all Israelites. And because of this, that is why Samson's origin was so strong, was so pure. Now, in the story of Samson and Delilah, we know, and it's so famous, that Samson was this man who grew up, who was loved by God, who was blessed by God, and his hair was his strength. That's where all his strength lied. But because Samson was so in love with Philistine women and was so enthralled by their beauty, he kept falling prey to his own demise. But his origin is what kept Samson to be his continued blessing, even though it reached his demise. So Yemi, what is your take on this?
So I think Samson is a city boy on 1000. All he's doing is chasing women, IG models of the day. He sees these beautiful women and he's like, give me her. Samson's encounter with three women that the Bible mentions always gets him into a predicament. And he doesn't learn. But like you mentioned, Philia, he was called to a certain plan and purpose that God had for him. God had sent his messenger to tell his parents that they would have a child who would deliver them from the Philistines who were oppressing them for decades. And he had to fulfill this plan and purpose despite his lustful, sinful ways. Ultimately, because he chased women more than he chased the love of God and obedience to the word, it brought his ultimate destruction. And we know that chasing women is not a good way to enter into a relationship, especially if you're chasing a woman for physical attributes and who doesn't align with you mentally, emotionally, spiritually. When we're looking for a spouse, we don't need to concentrate on one aspect. We need to concentrate on all aspects to make this person our spouse, to make them a good partner for us. If you just focus on looks and looks fade, you're not going to have a satisfying, fulfilling relationship. Samson is teaching us not to be a city boy or city girl, but to be men and women of substance.
I love the fact that you mentioned that Samson is teaching us to be men and women of substance. It's funny because he was a man of substance, but he had an addiction in the sense. His addiction was a sexual addiction. It was about lusting. He, you know, it's kind of interesting that before he was born, his mother was to make sure she did not eat unclean meat and she did not drink of any fermented drink or any wine. Now, what does wine do? It makes us, you know, feel a lot more at ease. It alters your state, you know. So Samson was kind of always in that state in his sexual addiction, in a sense. And I find it interesting that the unclean meat to me was a Philistine woman, because they were not believers. And God always said, do not fall in love, do not mate with, do not, you know, consummate with a Philistine woman, period, because they were unbelievers. So it's like all of the things that were part of what his makeup was, he completely disobeyed. But it also showed how God still continued to love and favor him in spite of all of that. And yet still, he still continued to go against it. And I think something else that he did that was pretty interesting is that it almost felt like because he knew that he was favored by God, he almost felt indestructible. And that's the reason why he continued in his pursuit of the things that God did not want.
And Samson was pretty indestructible when he encountered these women and he got into these hairy situations. He was able to escape. His first wife forced him to tell the riddle that would only save her life and her family's life. I mean, he had a table before he sat in the presence of his enemies. He had a table before his enemies. He told them a riddle so that he can gain some wealth. Maybe he thought he was having a little fun. They were very unhappy and threatened the woman's life if she didn't find out. And of course, this wasn't a marriage of substance for her. So she begged him to tell her the answer. And the Bible says that Samson was just annoyed by her. He was so annoyed that he told her the riddle. And then because he told her the riddle, all these consequences ensued. He told her the riddle. She then told the people. Samson was upset. He left the woman. He didn't even consummate the marriage. The woman was given to another man. When he found out, he was enraged. I think Samson had a big temper. That's probably part of his makeup to allow him to be so forceful in his revenge. His actions against the Philistines was acts of revenge. So in his revenge, he went on a destructive spree. He went on a killing spree, which ultimately cost this woman her life. The Philistines were really upset. They were like, you bring in this man, our enemy, into our city gates, and now he's killing people. So you know what? We're going to kill you and your family and be right. Done with Samson. But that wasn't the last they heard of Samson, because Samson, as a city boy, kept chasing these Philistine women. When the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked, the Bible is talking about choosing partners who don't have the same background as you, don't align with you spiritually, specifically. But imagine being with someone who, like our families, West African families will say, you should be with someone from your own culture. There's a lot of things about our culture that can only continue if you stay in your culture, that align only if you're in your culture, only make sense if you're in your culture. And when you don't do that, there can be a couple of consequences associated with that. And so Samson was like, this is what I want. This is what I want, despite the consequences. Even after his first disastrous marriage, he still continued to pursue Philistine women.
It's funny you said that, Yemi, because let's start to really peel the layers in the sense of Samson's origins, I would say. Now, first thing that Dr. David Clark says is that God's original plan is the most important thing, right? So before Samson was even conceived, the angel of the Lord tells his mother that her son will be God's warrior. Then we reach God's message in stage one. So God always has a special plan. Everything from the hairs on our body to everything about us, he already knows what our destiny is going to be. Now, God's message in stage one was that, again, Samson was destined for something, a particular job, a particular destiny. And as long as the mother follows suit, this was going to be the life of her son. Now, stage two, which is drifting from God and objectifying women, this is where now Samson is in his adulthood. Judges 14 verses 1 to 7, it kind of talks about that, where Samson makes the first of many choices to disobey God and get off track sexually by disobeying God and by choosing to marry a Philistine woman. Now, this is the first wife, like you mentioned, was not Delilah. This was a woman that he was lusting after, but he actually did not consummate the marriage. He just walked out and defied everything about what that marriage was supposed to be. Then God's message in stage two talks about the idea of how a husband has to stay close to God. Now, the reason why this is important is because as the leader of the family, the husband has to love God. If he loves God, then he will set the example and set the tone of how his household would be. Now, not that Samson did not love God, but he did not obey God. He loved him in a way like saying, he was grateful for his gifts and he knew that God blessed him and God favored him. And maybe, he was ordained for something, but he did not realize that all of his actions, in spite of all God's promise, because God doesn't break promises, but his actions, he didn't realize was going to be several consequences for it. And the consequences ultimately was his death. So even though God favored him, God doesn't say, because I favor you, that means that nothing is going to happen to you. You still have to reap what you sow. And you are sowing a seed that I do not want. You are sowing a seed that I completely forbid you from, even though I favor you. And this is something that I think Samson is showing us with his continuous behavior of disobeying God. We also see in stage three, where he starts to get attached to worthless woman. Now, it's kind of funny because you wonder why you get into certain relationships where you know the person may not be worthy of you, but yet still you chase that worthlessness. Sometimes it's because you feel like you're missing something. So it's a way to satisfy this missing part that you're trying to fulfill. Sometimes it's trying to get, I would say, justification for your actions. Sometimes it's just because you want to be a renegade or a rogue and try to do your own thing. There's so many things that make us do the things that are not necessarily good for us. And in this case, Samson completely shows it with his behavior by continuously chasing after these women that is clearly not good for him. And they continue to defy him. They continue to throw him under the bus and they continue to give away his secrets, yet still he falls into the same traps.
I mean, 100%, I think when God blesses you, when God has a word for you and he blesses you, has a plan and purpose for your life, he wants to see that too come to an end. God's plan for Samson was to be a champion for the people against the Philistines who were oppressing them at the time. In a way, that was accomplished through Samson's sin. So God can use anything. So despite the fact that Samson chased these women, God was still accomplishing his plan and purpose by bringing down the enemies of his people. However, had Samson stayed in alignment with God's plan, stayed in alignment with what he was supposed to do and being obedient and not being unequally yoked, who knows how long Samson would have lived? Who knows how much the people would have overcome? Who knows what their future would have been had he not fallen into the path of chasing women? All he wanted were good-looking women. First, his first wife, and he said, looks good to me, bring her to me. Second, the prostitute in the Philistine land. And then third, Delilah. All three of these women caused him to be in a precarious situation that could have brought about his death. But God turned it around to cause the death of his enemies, of his people's enemy. Maybe that's why Samson continued to chase after women. He never learned from these bad choices because God saw him do it. God created an out for him. But ultimately, Samson perished because how many times can you be saved from your own sin? We need to be careful about falling into sin and continuing to pursue that sin because the consequences may be mediocre to light. They can continue to grow to a situation where it can be destructive for our family. The fact that Samson was unequally yoked meant that he was with people, not only non-believers, but they didn't pursue what God intended for Samson's life. He wasn't with a woman who supported him. He wasn't with a woman who continued to nurture and support his life and his promise and his gift. He wasn't with a woman who gave him children. He wasn't with a woman that his parents were happy with, that his people were happy with. Except for his first relationship, none of these relationships were even celebrated. He couldn't enjoy what a marriage was intended to be for himself because he wanted to be a city boy. Sometimes we can be blinded by lust, men and women, that it takes us from the path that God has called us to. It causes friction and division in our own family and in our own relationship. You can be married and still lusting after someone else. No one is immune to that, but you have to be careful. You have to create space. You have to create boundaries with anyone who would separate you from your family, anyone who would separate you from God's will and purpose. And God's will and purpose is not for you to be a city boy or city girl chasing money, chasing men, chasing women. God's purpose is what he called you to do that aligns with his word.
Amen. That is so well said, because it just reminds me of what caused Samson's demise. Like, he was a city boy at heart, even though he was truly a man of God or a chosen man of God, but it wasn't enough for him to follow that path. And it shows that if you don't plug into God, if you're not plugged into his word, if you're not plugged into his promise, that you can really stray. So it's really, really, really important that you align yourself and do the things that he wants so that you stay in that alignment. And what Dr. David Clark is mentioning is that the first thing is to confess your sins. Say, especially with your partner, tell them what the sin that is going on with you, because if you continue to sin, then you pull your partner into that. You have to be the leader and say, as embarrassing or as much as I think you might judge me or I'm ashamed of this, if you confess it, then it's in the open. And if it's not hiding, then you all can both tackle it. Step two would be therapy. He clearly says to get a Christian therapist, because, you know, with a Christian therapist, he or she will align themselves with the word and pretty much give you all the guidelines that will keep you in alignment with God. Step three is recovery. You have to find that Christ is in the center of all of your addictions, all of your problems. And as long as you have Christ in it, in the center, he will always, Holy Ghost will always give you or lead you to teach you, to train you. You know, you will be able to rebuke those things that are not of you. It will keep you centered. And that's why it's truly important to keep God, to keep Christ, to keep, you know, your spiritual growth, to your nourishment, to keep it centered so that you are always in alignment. And I think he mentions that step four, I think it's your God's message to you. And it allows that God continues to keep his promise. All you have to do is stay in alignment so that promise is always kept, because God does not break his promise. However, there's always consequences to your actions. Every action is an opposite and equal reaction in a sense, right? So it's always important for you to do the right things, stay in alignment, stay in accordance with what God wants for you, because God does not break his promise. And God also understands that if you do break a promise, there's always going to be a consequence to it.
Amen. There's always consequences to our actions, to our sinful behavior, even to our lust. You may think that it's not hurting anyone, that it's personal, but it hurts your partner, whether your current partner or your future partner. The fact that it may go unchecked, the actions that you continue to do that pursue lust, that take you away from God, take you away from what God has planned for you, your path and your purpose, only leads to destruction. They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So you may think that these are little things, overall, you still love God, but we know we can't love the world and God at the same time. You can't serve these two masters. You either love one and hate the other. You should love God first and hate the world, because the world will take you to destruction. There's so many things of the world that are designed to keep us from God's plan and purpose. Anything we do, we need to ask ourselves, does this align with God's word? Does this align with God's will for my life? If the answer is no, you know it's a rejection. No one is immune from lust. We all have lusty, lusty thoughts. But there's ways that we can keep that in check. And if you struggle with keeping that in check, like Philia said, you can confess, tell your partner that you're struggling with it. Tell your partner you need to go to therapy so that you can help this addiction you may have. Be in recovery. Be accountable. Dr. Clark says that it's great to be in a men's ministry group because you can, maybe you feel comfortable confessing to these other men in your group, or maybe a woman's ministry group. Maybe you can feel comfortable confessing to these other women in the group who have struggled with the same things, who can advise you, who can pour into you. These are groups that are designed to encourage you in the word of God, to pray over you, and to love you. So talking in a Christ-centered group is probably one of the best things you can do to stay on the path and connected to God's word.
Amen.
This was a great discussion of City Boys 100, Samson's destruction by lust. So there's so many things that we can continue to talk about and continue to examine as we try to overcome our desires of the world and be more aligned with God. But we're going to save that for the live in a few weeks. But so stay tuned for announcements and closing prayer.
Thank you for tuning into our podcast today as we discuss the outrageously lust-filled Samson and his women's in our Yoked series. We hope you enjoyed the discussion, but before we wrap, we have a few announcements and then we would like to close in prayer. Are you subscribed to our podcast? Do you like us on YouTube? Are you following us on Instagram? Treading Faith is our handle on all platforms, and you can follow our IG page to keep current on what's happening with Treading Faith. Like and subscribe to our YouTube channel and share this podcast with your friends, family, colleagues, and neighbors alike. Our podcast is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and our website, treadingfaith.captivate.fm. And where other podcasts are found. We want to grow, so if you like us, don't forget to subscribe and share. Join us tonight, May 8th at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on our YouTube channel, Treading Faith, for Wisdom Wednesday Live. We are looking forward to connecting with you and to hear your thoughts on our season of Yoked, finding and maintaining relationships guided by the Word. Now, let's join together in prayer. We believe in the power of prayer, and specifically praying the text of the Bible, because according to Isaiah 55:11, God's word will not come back void. And because we also believe our prayers are strengthened in numbers, we ask that you come into agreement with us for this prayer. Father God in heaven, we glorify your magnificent name. We thank you for this day. We thank you for our daily bread, and we thank you for the life that you have given us. Father, we pray to align with your will and your word for us. Father, help us to walk into the steps that you have destined and ordained for us. Keep us from straying against the path. Keep us from our desires of the world, and let our hearts and mind be set on your word and your way. Matthew 5:28 says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery in his or her heart." Oh, Father God, we pray against
adultery. We pray against our lustful desires in our heart so that we do not cross any boundaries. Father, give us pure thoughts and a pure heart so that we may stay connected and only have desires for our partner. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh." Father God, help us to align with the Spirit and your word so we do not seek worldly things to satisfy our flesh, but that we are completely satisfied with you, your glory, your kingdom, your way, and your will. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Father God, we know that there's many distractions in the world. We know that sometimes there's a setup of stumbling blocks for our failure. But Father God, we will not trip. We will not fall. We will not fall into the traps and the snares of the evil one who seeks our destruction and downfall. Father, keep us from destruction. Keep us from downfall so that we keep in alignment with you. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Father God, none of us are perfect. We have all sinned. We pray for your forgiveness. We pray that the blood of Jesus just washes us clean. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, the works of our hands. Oh, Father God, that we pray that we give them back to you, Father. Father, there's nothing to be ashamed of, oh, Father God. We all fall short. So, Father, help us to turn around. Help us not hide in shame and keep secrets that keep us falling and stumbling. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great powers as it is working." Father God, help us find mentors and leaders who are ordained by you, who are rooted in your word, so that they can help and guide us. Allow us to have friendships and partnerships and relationships where we can confess our sins and seek guidance, encouragement, and support. Philippians 4:18 says, "Finally, brothers, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things." Father, help us to keep our minds from straying against anything that will present a stumbling block, that will disgrace our families, that will keep us separated from our partners and our spouses. Father, help us to meditate daily on your word and the goodness of your ways and the goodness of things and the goodness of our relationships, instead of dwelling on negativity, instead of dwelling on shortcomings, instead of dwelling on setbacks, disappointments. Father, let us focus on what is good, true, and excellent, so that our spirits may be uplifted, that we may see our partners in a better light, that we may know your glory in this life and in our relationships. Your word says in Matthew 18:19, "If at least two of us agree on earth about anything we ask for, that it will be done by our Father in heaven." So we come into agreement for this prayer and we say amen, amen, amen in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Thank you for tuning into our podcast today. We love you and we can't wait to see you on the live. Bye.